We have things that are old and things that are new in our worship this morning. The opening hymn actually comes from the 4th century. It's one of the earliest Christian liturgies, a piece of that liturgy. Let all mortal flesh keep silent. And of course, our O antiphons come from the 6th century. Old things, but also new things. On the cover of your insert, this very unusual picture. This is from the Taze community in France, a contemporary community. And it's a stained glass window that shows the story we're about to read, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. And as you look at that picture, you'll notice two very interesting things, that there's more than two people in the picture. That if you look at the wombs of Mary and Elizabeth, their children are shown also. That's Elizabeth on the left, and you'll notice the child in her womb is down on his knees worshiping. And in Mary on the right, you'll see Jesus Christ with his own arms open to receive and to bless. That's a lovely little illustration of this story. Our reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. This is the story of the visitation and Mary's song, the Magnificat, which is so called because in the Latin translation, that's the first word, Magnificat, magnifies. Let us hear the word of God. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, just about 2 weeks ago, our nation observed the 80th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. That terrible day, so long ago, was followed by a rapid series of Japanese victories all across the Pacific Ocean, and perhaps none was more disheartening to a nation newly at war than the loss of the Philippines, which occurred in the spring of 1942. There were a great number of American soldiers taken prisoner, many of whom participated in what we call the Bataan Death March. A number of those who survived were interned at a prisoner of war camp near the town of Cabanatuan, which is in the island of Luzon. And conditions there were brutal. The prisoners were half-starved. They were cruelly mistreated. They were often executed at whim by their captors. And those who survived had very little hope for rescue. They weren't even sure that anyone even knew where they were, or that they were still alive, given all the confusion that attended the fall of the Philippines. They believed themselves to be forgotten and with little hope of survival. But all of that changed on the morning of January 30th, 1945. In a daring and well-planned raid behind enemy lines, U.S. Army Rangers and Filipino guerrillas set upon this prison camp, completely surprising the guards, and within minutes, the camp was under Allied control. And the prisoners were rescued and they were set free. One account of the raid describes the scene as the Rangers began to go from barrack to break the news of their rescue to the prisoners who were huddling in fear within. This is from one of the Rangers who conducted the rescue. He writes, slowly the awareness that this was a jailbreak was beginning to sink in among the rest of the prisoners. And they were reacting with a kind of catatonic ecstasy, numb and inarticulate. One prisoner wrapped his arms around the neck of the first ranger he saw and kissed him on the forehead. And all he could say was, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Alvie Robbins found one prisoner muttering in a darkened corner of one of the barracks, tears coursing down his face. The prisoner said, I thought we'd been forgotten. Robbins said, no, you're not forgotten. We've come for you. That story may seem a strange introduction to the passage we have just read, this meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and the song that Mary sings. But in truth, if we can imagine just a little bit of the emotion that must have been going through those prisoners' minds when they received the news of their rescue, then I think we're well on the way to understanding what these two mothers-to-be, what their meeting meant to them. And what Mary's song continues to mean for those who belong to God. Because Israel back then truly thought they had been forgotten by God. It had been centuries since God had spoken to them through a prophet. And their land, that land God had promised to them, had been occupied by foreign powers for a very long time. They were, in a very real sense, prisoners within their own land. And the foreign king who ruled over them presently, one Herod, was as brutal and violent as any of the worst who had come before him. The people of God still remembered the promises that God had made to them long, long ago. That promise about a king who would come from the house and lineage of David, a great king who would rule over his people in peace and prosperity forever. The people of God still remembered that promise, but they were having trouble believing in it anymore. They had lost hope that that promise would pass century upon century going by. Their thought that God was really going to make this happen just no longer seemed real. They felt themselves forgotten and forsaken by God. But what we have been reading and what we read this morning is the great truth that they had not been forgotten at all. And that God was just about to break in and to set the prisoners free. Behind enemy lines even. Suddenly, from out of nowhere, without the Romans knowing a thing, suddenly God had come. He had broken into that despair. He had arrived in the midst of that forsakenness, and he had spoken good news about a great joy that was just about to come to pass. As we read, first God had sent his angel Gabriel to visit a priest by the name of Zechariah as he burned incense in the temple in Jerusalem. And Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth, though both well advanced in age and never having had children before, were just about to have a son. And Zechariah, for obvious reasons, doubted that this could be so, and so was struck silent by the angel until such time as the child was born, in and of itself a sign. And now, lo and behold, as our story opens, Elizabeth's in her 6th month, this elderly lady, in her 6th month of pregnancy, signifying that clearly what had been impossible before with human beings, God had indeed made possible. The same God who had also promised to Gabriel that this miracle child born to Zechariah and Elizabeth would actually be the herald, the preparer of the way for an even greater child to come, a child who would bring joy not just to parents but to all of God's people. That king, that promised king from the house and lineage of David, who would deliver his people from captivity, was just about to come. Which is precisely what Gabriel had then announced to a young virgin, whose name was Mary, that the Spirit of the Most High God would overshadow her, and that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, and she was to call his name Jesus, the very name meaning salvation, and that Mary's son would be nothing less than the Son of God, light from light, very God of very God, and the promised Messiah, the promised Redeemer, the promised King. Israel was not forgotten after all. And Israel had never been forsaken through all those generations. God was coming. And he was coming to rescue them, to redeem them. God slipping in behind enemy lines to set the prisoners free. And that's why Mary just starts singing. And it's also what Mary sings. Elizabeth has barely laid eyes upon her young kinswoman, barely heard the sound of her voice when the baby in her womb begins dancing with joy inside of her. And in that moment, you have to imagine that whatever small doubts Elizabeth might have still been struggling with about all of this just vanished once and for all. Because looking at Mary, feeling the baby within her own womb leaping up in joy, clearly Elizabeth knew it was all true. Everything the angel had said to Zechariah. In fact, that's what Elizabeth basically says to Mary. It's all true. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. The mother of my Lord has come to visit me. And Mary, seeing her elderly kinswoman Elizabeth, great with child, hearing the words which Elizabeth proclaims over her, whatever doubts Mary must have had, had to have vanished also. Everything Gabriel had said was true. Everything that God had promised about this child was true. Everything that God had promised to his people was true. He had remembered. And he was just about to rescue, to redeem, to restore and renew forevermore the people called by his name. And so Mary, lifted up now with a joy of her own, starts singing. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Is, I think, a biblical version of, oh boy, oh boy. She sings out her joy, the part God has given her to play in this coming salvation of the world. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. But most of all, her song is about the greatness of God and the boundless goodness and mercy of God to his people. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And then the song shifts and she talks about what God is going to do. Spells out the deliverance to come. And it's interesting the way she says it, because she sings it in the past tense. She sings it as if this has already happened. As if she is looking out and can already see the salvation come to pass. She's singing ahead of time, as it were. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his offspring forever. Magnificat, song of joy. Mary magnifying the God who is multiplied her joy and is about to multiply the joy of all peoples. God has not forgotten his promises, and God shall never forsake his people. And that is the good news which we celebrate in Christmas, that in Jesus Christ, that child of Mary, God has come to rescue us, has come to liberate us, come to set us free. Have we felt ourselves forgotten? Have we thought ourselves forsaken? Have we looked upon our lives and upon this world and just wondered, could it be true? The good news of Christmas: God never forgets. God never forsakes. And God is here right now, rescuing the prisoners and setting free those captive to hopelessness and fear and suffering. Those captives held by sin and sorrow and death. He has come to set us free. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Because it's all true. And it is still true today. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. So let us join in that song, Mary's song. Even if at times it feels like we, like her, are singing it ahead of time. But we do so with confidence because we know he who kept his promise to his people Israel will keep his promise to us and to all who are called by his name. Let us sing out the good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people this Christmas and until he comes again. Amen.